This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the car. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy in the car, just like you? Right now, times are really tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to make your drive around Melbourne fun. So tell your siblings, your workmates, heck, even wind down your window and tell someone else stuck in the traffic to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and myself, Tass. Macca?
Thank you, Tass. Our next guest is the member for Albert Park, but also the Victorian Health Minister and Minister for Equality, Martin Foley. Good morning, Martin.
Good morning, Macca. Good morning, Tass.
Great to have you back in the studio.
It's a pleasure to be here.
I think the last time I saw you in here was on opening day.
Yes, when we had Sally Capp and a few others.
And Roe Allen, yes. But you've been here lots of times recently. You actually have a lot of meetings here, don't you?
I try to. Yeah. It's such a fantastic facility. Yeah.
Well, why wouldn't you? I do the same. In fact, I've got a meeting in this very, well, not in the studio, but downstairs at 12 o'clock, 12:30.
There you go.
I caught up with the fantastic Anna Brown from Equality Australia to look at how 2022 is shaping up and what support we can particularly bring to the public policy debates in the federal parliament, and a few interesting discriminatory moves under the guise of trying to promote religious freedom, which of course we all support, but there's a few challenges there, and Equality Australia are leading the national campaign in that regard.
Yes, we've been covering that fairly regularly over the last few weeks.
And I say to the federal government, you know, you don't raise other people up and support other people by standing on other people's necks.
Yes.
So the important thing here is that the Victorian government has now made significant amendments to the equal opportunity legislation that remove elements of discrimination against our community and other communities on the basis of gender, sexuality, ability, etc.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, third time lucky. Yeah. So this dates back 12 years, this campaign, and it just shows how you've got to stick at these things. And I want to thank particularly everyone in the LGBTIQ plus community, and particularly those focused on rights through legislation. So in 2010, through an attributes approach, the then Brumby government got through as one of its last measures, this measure to remove discrimination in faith-based organisations if the discrimination for faith wasn't around a core attribute of the job. That was overturned by the incoming Baillieu government in 2011. The first term Andrews government came within one vote in the Legislative Council of putting in place a similar but more progressive measure. And we went to the last election with a commitment that we would deal with this issue. And we got through. And I want to particularly thank the Attorney-General, Jack Symes, and the Parliamentary Secretary for Equality, Harriet Ching, for their particular leadership in driving that through the Legislative Council. And now what we have is a legislative provision that does not empower faith-based organisations to unilaterally discriminate against anyone based on a range of attributes, particularly sexuality or gender identity. And it takes a few other measures, but that take it further than the original 2010 and 2017 proposals. But now the risk is the Commonwealth might well seek to overturn that, specifically through their proposed federal bill, which probably is specifically designed to not see the light of day before the election. But as the Attorney has made clear, Victoria will oppose them every step of the way, because it is not a shield. It is a shield pretending, it is a sword pretending to be a shield. And discriminating against someone based on their identity, their gender, their single parenthood status under the guise of a religious shield is, as you put it, Macca, stepping on someone else's throat.
Yeah.
This is an incredibly important reform for our community. An incredibly important reform. And we've talked about this a lot. We've even spoken to the leader of the opposition about this very issue, and we got a very strong statement of support. What happened in Parliament when the bill came up for debate?
Well, in the lower house, we were very disappointed to see that the leader of the opposition, having given those commitments, his deputy and their shadow spokesperson for equality, mysteriously didn't make the votes. And the opposition voted against it in the Legislative Assembly and did similar in the Legislative Council. It was very disappointing because I would have hoped that after 12 years of community debate, well, longer, 12 years of parliamentary debate, decades worth of community debate, that we would have made enough progress as a civilised, decent society to have as a fundamental principle, as the leader of the opposition said on your show, that you just, there are some measures that just aren't contemplatable in 2022, and to discriminate against someone on the basis of their sexuality, their gender identity, and who fundamentally they are doesn't wash.
If I recall correctly, I think the word bipartisan was used.
Yes.
Is that right, Macca?
It was, and to say I was disappointed is an understatement. I just, you know, I was dumbfounded, I was disappointed. Anyway, it's on the public record how they stood on this legislation. It's up to them to explain why, at some time, perhaps, in the future.
Okay, let's move along. In other news, you've established another ministerial task force.
Yes, we're now up to the third, was it the fourth? Oh, crikey. I think it's the fourth iteration of two-year terms of both the justice.
It has to be more than that.
In the Andrews government.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Because I had a little role to play in the inaugural committee, which was then called the Gay and Lesbian Ministerial Task Force.
Yes.
Come a long way since then.
And I had a little role in the Justice Working Group.
Yes, you did.
When I was first elected in
2000. That's right, you did too.
And I've got to say, you know, fresh-eyed and bushy-tailed as I was, that introduced me to so much of the rich diversity of the LGBTIQ plus community and its organisational capacity. And it's been an endless revelation as to the principles of organisation, co-design, and endless pushing for reform. Because as soon as you come over one hill, there's another.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's a never-ending process of reform.
So tell us about the task force.
Okay.
So, what are they going to do?
Well, I just heard the tail end of the LGBTIQ Communities Commissioner's report, and there will be a heap of work to do. The most, it sounds boring, but it's actually structurally really important, is the whole of government report, which the previous committee task force spent the best part of 2 years putting together, so as to how embed the notion that not just anti-discrimination but positive support for LGBTIQ plus communities in everything government does in our community. And there are some who say that they want government out of people's lives. I take the view that when it comes to an argument as to embedding decency and support and anti-discrimination principles, people want government to do those things because that is fundamentally the kind of society that I think Victorians support. And in that regard, how to embed in the operation of all government does support for positive outcomes for disadvantaged communities, for anti-discrimination, for positive support for LGBTIQ plus communities in everything we do. So there is not the discrimination, but there is in more than that. There is an embedded support for diversity and richness in all that we do.
Here's a bit of feedback for you. One of the things that I've valued is government saying to organisations, you must have an LGBTIQ plus strategy. Great initiative. What it means is that organisations need to turn their mind to it, they need to think about it, they need to allocate resources and do some thinking. The thinking's been done. Now let's see the goods. So that's the next request that I have of you, Minister Folley.
And you would have heard the Commissioner discuss, for instance, the work that we're doing with local government in that regard. Mm. The policies are great, the election commitments that the Pride lobby got in the last local government round are great, but how do you then turn that into a support for diversity in really practical terms? Where are the faces, where are the different people that are reflected in our wider community in the operation of local government, in health, in education? I did hear at the start of your program the work being done by Victoria Police. I think that reflects the rich diversity that big institutional and historically conservative and indeed combative institutions to the interests of LGBTIQ plus communities can be positively engaged, not without challenges, and turn messages around. So how do we make sure that everything government does reflects those deep, I think, enduring values of Victorians to want to make sure that we build a non-discriminatory, participatory, inclusive community that reflects who we are, genuinely who we are, and promotes that? There are plenty of issues.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic work. Another question from me, if I may. So as we're closing off this year, what can our community expect to see from the equality portfolio next year?
Well, I think we're going to start the year with a very, very long and well overdue series of celebrations after two extraordinarily rugged
Melbourne
years,
Pride, here we come.
Some extraordinarily challenging times where we know that the disadvantage that structurally LGBTIQ plus communities face anyway has been amplified through isolation, through over-representation in poor outcomes in so many fields. Let's not put that behind us. Let's recognise that, but at the same time, recognise the achievements. So whether it's the Midsummer Festival on steroids, or Melbourne Pride and the 40th and 2/3 recognition of the anniversary of the decriminalisation of homosexuality in Fitzroy and Collingwood, I think there's opportunities for people to get together and celebrate. That's something.
Fantastic.
But equally, use that as a organising point for a redoubling of resolve to look at those next set of challenges. I'm hopeful that those set of challenges from the nearly two years worth of consultation and co-design work that we've been doing for the whole of government strategy in every part of community activity might well form a bit of a centrepiece of that conversation at the same time. So let's reflect on significant achievements over many, many years. Let's reflect on the challenges, sometimes the brutal events of the last 2 years. But let's, in a safe way, in a highly vaccinated way, come together in Midsummer and Melbourne Pride and launch into a stronger set of resolves to drive policy outcomes, process outcomes, and look at particularly how the principles of equality and inclusion can be drawn into how we intersect with all of what government and community does in every range of government activity.
We've just had a message from a listener who says, I'm very happy to live here in Melbourne and never, ever take our livability city status for granted. Thanks to Mr. Folley for his tireless support as an amazing ally. There you go, one of our listeners.
Thank you.
And, you know, 40 years, Martin, since decriminalisation, 40 years and a little bit. But you know what? Today is also 20 years and 6 months since the passage of the Statute Law Amendment Relationships Act 2001.
20 and a half.
That changed 14 acts of Parliament. And really, that was the real start of delivering equality. Did you know that even then, Tass...
You were crying on the steps of Parliament House, Macca. I remember it very clearly.
But, you know, just imagine if Tass was my partner. I know that's a horrible thought. But if I was in hospital...
Shut up.
Until the laws were changed, he didn't have a right to visit me. He didn't have a right to make decisions about my medical treatment, right? He wasn't, you know, he didn't actually have the right to visit me in hospital. That was one of the things that was changed. So, you know, 20 years and 6 months today. Today.
Wonderful news. Now, we're nearly out of time, Martin. So just as we're sort of winding up, what's your message to our community for the coming season?
Well, a bit like the Commissioner, now's the time for a bit of reflection. Please, if 94% of people are vaccinated, 12 years and over, if you're in that 6%, provided you've got don't have a valid medical exemption, please come forward and get vaccinated. If you're due your booster shot, which increasingly we've got very high uptake of the booster shot, please come forward. I'm sure there'll be more... we'll have more to say about programs on booster shots in the very near future to encourage more people to get engaged in that. It's looking like it is a very powerful tool to deal with the potential concerns around Omicron, which we'll wait for some further medical advice there in the very near future. Be safe, but also use it as this time of the year really is an opportunity for reflection, for achievements made, but redouble those efforts into 2022 and beyond, because every time we reach a campaign summit, there's always another one around.
And if there's one thing you could wish for in the new year, what would that be?
I want to see the end of this pandemic, but
I don't think that's a new year.
It's got some way to travel. I am convinced the worst of it is behind us.
Yes,
the ability to be vaccinated, the ability for treatment, the ability for social measures are now widely supported. There's no going back to where we were. But people just need to hang in there, continue to follow the public health advice, stay safe, stay open, and 2022 will be a better year for recovery, I am sure.
That's also a time of tradition, Martin. We have a tradition here at Saturday Magazine that on Christmas Day, we speak to people who've been on the show during the year. We're going to have a chat to you, aren't we? A little quick chat in between presents and dog walking and... relatives and all that stuff?
Well, I wouldn't know what to do on Christmas Day if I didn't get the invitation, Macca.
Thank you. It's been a tough year, Martin. Can I just ask, you know, when at the end of these long days and the really hard decisions you have to make, you know, the huge amount of information you've got to absorb, I know you like to walk your dog in the morning. What do you do when you get home at night? What's the, you know, to help you disengage? What do you do?
Well, I don't want to sound too suburban, stereotype, white, middle-class, stale, pale and male, but I take great solace in my family.
Yeah.
I value their sometimes brutal assessments as to my relevance to the universe, but I value them.
And great.
That puts everything in perspective.
Thank you. Thank you for your support of our community, Martin, not just in the equality portfolio, in a whole range of other areas. It makes a difference to people's lives. And thank you.
Thank you, Macca. Thank you, Tass. And can
great to have you on the airwaves.
Can I thank all the Joysters, and I look forward to a better 2022.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.